Hey, 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 everybody, welcome back to Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, with your host, Neo Gentrix. Now, like I said, I'm going through all these different topics and everything that everyone has sent in. I'm trying to decide on which is what I'm going to do next. There's a lot of different topics out there and a lot of different things that could be talked about. And as for this channel, there's always something that you can think about, stuff that you can cover on your own, and things that you probably will worry about or probably not. It just depends on you. However, everybody has something different that they like. Everyone has a different health situation. So, but before we move on to the current topic of today, I want to throw this out there. If you're having problems getting through life, or for whatever reason, you just need a help, a quick pick-me-up, or you need some inspiration, check out hashtag the guru, the lupus survivor. She has some amazing podcasts on her channel where you can get her podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. Her inspirational speeches and like-mindedness and everything that's gone on in her life will get you going and through your day. Just want to throw that out there and send the shout out her way. She has a wonderful podcast. Thank you for all that you do. And I pray that you keep on fighting. On top of that, I have three topics here. I'm trying to decide which one I want to do. I'm going to leave it to you listeners to decide which topic that I cover next time. And yes, while there's a many different things I could definitely cover, I'm going to leave it to these three. We'll pick one and then we'll move to something else unless you want to hear more. So the three topics you have to choose from. One is lupus. For one, it was actually requested way before I found out about the guru. Again, shout out to my girl. Lung cancer and kidney stones. For some reason, health topics have been on the rise lately. I have no idea why. It's the end of the year. I'm assuming it's because everyone's eating a lot. Although I have no idea why anyone would want to know about lung cancer, but I guess everyone's got their preferences. So with that, we move forward. Today's topic, believe it or not, is on menopause. This topic was heavily requested multiple times from a lot of different women for some reason. I don't know why I'm getting a lot of feedback from a lot of women. I have no complaints, though. So, but you requested it. I thank you guys for listening. So I'll do my best with what little research I was actually able to gather, and from what little information I already know, and from some information I've gathered from other people as well. Just a quick overview, though. Excuse me. What menopause actually is. Their symptoms include irregular periods, hot flashes, night sweats, sleep difficulties, and irritability. Speaking from experience on that one, ex-girlfriend. I'm going to leave it at that. Menopause treatments may include hormone replacement therapy or herbal therapy. It differs from person to person, okay? With that being said, here's a question. We'll take a short break. I want you to think about it. How do you know if you're in menopause? I want you to think about that. And we'll be right back after this break. Okay, and we'll begin. Back. So before I actually answer the other question, let's start with the basics of menopause real quick. So what is menopause? That's the question of the day right here. It is I'm going to try my best to word this as best as I can from memory. It's a normal condition that all women experience as they age. I say age loosely. I know there's some women out there that's a bit touchy on that. The term Menopause can be can describe any of the changes a woman goes through either just before or after she stops menstruating. Man. marking the end of her reproductive period. Okay. What causes it, though? There's a question. Let's see here. To my knowledge, and from what little I did manage to actually find in such a short time span after picking this topic out of this long list of stuff I do wish to cover from what everyone has sent, a woman is born with a finite number of eggs, okay? This much I know is true. They're stored in the ovaries. The ovaries also make the hormones estrogen and progesterone. You get the idea. Which controls menstruation and ovulation, which is a known fact at this point. Menopause happens when ovaries are no longer release an egg every month and menstruation stops. Menopause is actually considered a normal part of aging when it happens after the age of 40. So, good news there. For some. Others, however, before I go any further, some women can go through menopause early. Just go ahead and throw that out there now. Either as a result of surgery, and that can happen, such as a hysterectomy. Oh man, I hate that word. Or damage to the ovaries, which can happen from multiple different things. I will not go into that. Okay. Women can damage their ovaries in more than one way. Trust me. I've heard stories. Some I wish I've never heard. Which is why, for the sake of this being a family-oriented, or at least kid-friendly podcast, I will not go into that nitty-gritty. The other thing, one of the things that I will say that can damage your ovaries is chemotherapy. Okay? That's a known one. It happens, menopause that happens before 40, though, before you turn 40, regardless of the cause, is called premature menopause. Okay? And like mentioned before, it can happen naturally, though. It's not brought on by any type of medical or surgical treatment. The process is gradual and it has three stages. But this, well, yeah, actually, you know what? Before I go into those three stages, let's take a short break right here. Okay, and we're back. I did say a second ago that menopause is brought about naturally. It doesn't take any medical or surgical treatment to bring about. It does happen after the age of 40, but it can happen prematurely due to other reasons. Picking up on that, it is gradual and it does have three stages. Okay? The first stage... I can't really say that this is simple, but the first stage is called perimenopause. Right for me, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing these right. I had to literally write these words down because there's no way in the world I'd remember these off the top of my head. This one typically begins several years before menopause ever actually starts, when the ovaries gradually make less and less estrogen than in the body's needing. Perimenopause lasts up until actual menopause starts itself, the point when the ovaries stop releasing eggs in the last 1 to 2 years of perimenopause. The drop in estrogen quickens at the stage. Many women start to have the actual menopause symptoms. Okay, which brings about the second stage, which is obviously menopause itself. This is the point where, when it's been a year since a woman last had her last menstrual period, at this stage the ovaries have stopped releasing eggs and making most of their estrogen to start with. The third, final stage is what they call postmenopause, These are the years after menopause. During this stage, the menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes ease for most women. But health risks related to the loss of estrogen do rise as the woman ages. This can be a problem depending on the person and how old they actually are. So what conditions cause premature menopause? Let's go back to that for a second. Premature menopause can be the result of genetics, autoimmune disorders, or medical procedures. Other conditions that may cause early menopause include premature ovarian failure. My God, why do women have to have such oddly named parts? Normally, the ovaries make both estrogen and progesterone. Like, again, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing these words. Changes in the levels of these two hormones happen when the ovaries, for unknown reasons, prematurely stop releasing eggs. It can happen either through accident, surgery, or other means. When this happens before the age of 40, it's called premature ovarian failure. Unlike premature menopause, premature ovarian failure is not always permanent. It can be resolved. Another issue that can cause premature menopause is induced menopause. Induced menopause happens when the ovaries are surgically removed for medical reasons, such as, do I have to say this word? I'll just say it like this: uterine cancer. I'll say it like that. Or endometriosis. Oh my God. Induced menopause can also result from damage to the ovaries caused by radiation or chemotherapy, like I mentioned early. Again, all these different things can cause premature menopause. It is not a bad thing, but it is, we'll go into the symptoms in a second. How about we just take a short break here while I try my best to untie my tongue from trying to say some of these words, and we'll cover symptoms in the next piece. And we're back. I did say we were going to cover the symptoms. I'm not going to lie. Let's look at it this way. At least you'll now know if you have it or not. Okay? So let's see here. Before I go any further, if you haven't realized this yet, I try my best to script most of my podcasts. I try to write down what I'm mostly going to say and use note cards as if I'm doing a presentation. So, God help me if I forget something, or I say something out of line. So, not out of line. I mean, it's not correct because I've remembered the information wrong. But for the most part, most of this is exact from what I have researched, at least. Okay, I do a lot of reading. I like to read even some of the most weird stuff out there. Okay, so most women approaching menopause, like I mentioned before, will have hot flashes. This is a known fact to every woman who's ever had it, or is about to go through it, or has gone through it. A sudden feeling of warmth spreads over the upper body, often with blushing and some sweating. You can have hot flashes normally too, but I mean, they're more common during this period. The severity of the hot flashes varies from mild in most women to severe in others. It can be really bad where you have to be hospitalized, okay? Other common symptoms, though, around the time of menopause include irregular or skipped periods. This does happen. Insomnia, mood swings, fatigue, depression, irritability. Now you know why you're always upset. Racing heart, headaches. Covered that already. Joint and muscle aches and pains, changes in libido, your sex drive is either lower or increased, believe it or not, that's a thing, vaginal dryness, it gets very dry downstairs, bladder control problems. You have issues either going to the bathroom or not being able to hold it. Now keep in mind, not all women will get all these symptoms. You'll get like a cluster group of some of them, but not all of them at the same time. How do you know when you're going through it? Now is the time we answer that question. Either you'll suspect the approach of menopause on your own, or your doctor will, based on symptoms you've told her about, or him, for those unlucky enough to get a female doctor. To figure it out, your doctor will do a certain blood test, okay? It also helps if you track your periods on a chart. Most women do, but for those who don't, you should probably. And they will become irregular. As soon as they become irregular, you'll know that your menstrual pattern will be an added clue to your doctor about whether you're either in pre-menopause or premature menopause. Premenopause meaning you're about to go into it, or something has happened in your body that changed that caused you to go into it sooner than you were supposed to. All right. And last bit we're going to cover here. What long-term health problems are tied to menopause? I like to always cover anything that's long-term, anything that might be an issue as a result of something, because I want you to understand if it has a severity, how bad it is, okay? Earlier I mentioned that there is a loss of estrogen that's linked with menopause that has, you know, been tied to a number of health problems that become more common as a woman ages, so you need to keep this in mind. After menopause, women are more likely to have an issue of, and it's not saying you will, it just says it's a possibility. Hear me out when I say this. It's not a, oh, I will get this. No, this is a possibility. This is why you need to stay in prayer and let God help you, okay? One of them is osteoporosis, okay? Another is heart disease. A poorly working bladder or bowel movement. A greater risk, see, I said greater risk. It doesn't say you get it. A greater risk of Alzheimer's disease, poor skin elasticity, increased wrinkling. If you take care of yourself, you won't even have that problem. Poor muscle power and tone. Again, if you take care of yourself, that's not as big of an issue as it sounds. Some weakening in vision, such as cataracts, clouding of the lenses of your eyes, and macular degeneration. Basically, that's the breakdown of the tiny spot in the center of your retina that is the center of your vision. You're possibly going to end up wearing glasses in the future, or reading glasses. Now keep this in mind. These are possible risks. This doesn't say you will get these items. Most people that I've met who've already gone through menopause have never even had any of these. Yes, some of them do wear glasses, but most of them have worn glasses most of their life to start with, and that can actually be fixed with surgery. However, if for whatever reason the retina in your eye starts to break down, I don't know if we have a surgical procedure nowadays to fix that, but again, a lot of things, you know, can be taken care of surgically. A number of the treatments can help lower risks that are linked with these conditions, so you have to talk to your doctor about those, okay? They should be able to help you take care of it, all right? Okay, actually, with that out of the way, let me delve a little bit deeper before we get to some frequently asked questions about menopause. See if I can get these answered as best as I can. But first, let me go ahead and simplify basically everything that I have covered already. Menopause, let's see here. It simply means, oh Lord, it means the end of menstruation for 1 year, okay? As a woman ages, there's a gradual decline in the function of her ovaries and the production of estrogen. This is, at this point, I've said that about 10 or 20 times already. Okay, and so it's understood. Around the time a woman turns 40, this process actually speeds up. The transition is known as perimenopause, as I mentioned earlier. Women typically menstruate for the last time at about 51 years of age, okay? A few stop menstruating as young as 40, and a very small percentage as late as 60, okay? Women who tend to smoke, however, go through menopause a few years earlier than non-smokers. Obvious reasons why. Most women notice some menstrual changes, such as periods occurring closer together, skipped menstrual periods, and occasional heavy periods, very heavy periods, up to a few years before menstruation ceases. Women who have menses will occur very close together, are heavier, and last longer than normal. If that be the case, they should call their healthcare provider because these could be signs of cancer. I really don't like this word. Uterine cancer. Okay, it's just signs of that. I'm gonna leave it at that. When I cover cancer, I'll cover what that is. But until then, we'll just leave it at that. All right. There is a great variation in how women, different women experience menopause. About 75% of women will have hot flashes. Like I mentioned before, it's not as common, but it does happen. Nighttime hot flashes and sweats are more common, though, and may result in chronic sleep deprivation, which is the insomnia I mentioned before in the symptoms portion. Mood swings aren't as well understood, but some women report an obvious change in mood. In addition, women may experience, you know, the dryness I mentioned before. If they tried to have sex, they'll have painful, their intercourse may be painful. Urinary symptoms, possible urinary infection, keep that in mind. These symptoms are often temporary and they pass as your body adjusts, okay? So they don't stay. However, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, can help relieve these symptoms in the meantime. Non-hormonal treatment options also are available, but you would have to talk to your doctor about that. Like I mentioned before, menopause does increase your risk of osteoporosis, which is the thinning of the bones, and possible heart disease. But again, these are possibilities. These are not definites. If you talk to your healthcare provider, they can help you decrease these risks and prevent them from happening. All right? Everybody, before we close out, I want to cover a couple of frequently asked questions about menopause. No one's asked me any of these. I've actually legitimately looked these up for people who had these same questions. Their answers can be found pretty much on any doctoral website. Okay, but I figured I'd go ahead and cover it since I'm already covering menopause as a whole. So I got 10 questions here. I'm going to answer them. Let me give you the answers that I found for them. Okay? These are 10 commonly asked questions. I actually legitimately have to go look up the answers for them. So, first things first. The first question said, my hot flashes aren't as intense as the ones my friends describe. Is this normal? Well, like I mentioned before, actually, this hot flashes or flushes are common in perimenopause. Not all women will experience them, and not all flashes are the same intensity. Hot flashes can be as mild as a light blush or severe enough to wake you from a sound sleep and be associated with perspiration, also known as night sweats. Most hot flashes last 30 seconds to 5 minutes at most. They usually disappear within a few years after menopause, but in some women, they can continue for decades. I didn't have to actually look this one up, as I already had the info for it off the top of my head. I had just covered it for you guys. My second question was, now that I've begun menopause, should I be concerned about birth control? This one was a bit difficult to actually look this one up. You will know for sure that you have experienced menopause when you have not had your period for an entire year. Alright? Until you have gone 1 year without a period, you should still use birth control if you do not want to become pregnant. Let me just say that right now. After menopause, you should continue to practice safe sex techniques by using, you know, the right equipment. I'll just say it like that. To reduce the risk of sexually transmitted diseases or STIs. And I'm going to leave that one alone right there, okay? Because with that, you would have to still speak with your doctor to know whether or not you still need it. The third question was, I'm perimenopausal and I have been told I should be taking a low-dose birth control pills. Why? With this one, actually, I had to actually ask a doctor. It was a little uncomfortable, I promise. Her reply was, and it is common in perimenopause to give medications to regulate cycles, and common medication given is the lower dose version of birth control pills compared to regular birth control pills. The lower dose of estrogen in very low dose pills may be safer for perimenopausal women. In other words, perimenopause typically begins several years before your final period. While regular birth control pills contain 30 to 50 micrograms of estrogen, these low-dose pills contain only 0.3 to 0.45 micrograms and can be increased only if needed. The fourth question was, what are some of the benefits of taking the low-dose birth control pills? This was an ongoing thing, these questions. In addition to prevent pregnancy, the pills can often regulate heavy or irregular menstrual periods and may provide protection from ovarian and uterine cancer. The pills may also prevent bone loss, so there's actually a possibility of that, which can lead to, you know, osteoporosis, as I mentioned before. But women with a history of breast cancer, blood clots, or heart disease, or women who smoke should never take these pills. I wish y'all could have seen the look on the lady's face when she told me that. The fifth question was about HRT, the hormone replacement therapy. Like I mentioned before, it is designed for women who have menopausal symptoms, such as the hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, mood swings, the dryness. If it's severe and affecting their quality of life, then yeah, you should get it. These symptoms can go on for years after your last period, okay? HRT replaces and supplements the hormones your body doesn't make anymore. So most women who use it take a combination of estrogen and progesterone, in which case estrogen is what helps with most of the symptoms, like the hot flashes and the dryness, whereas the progesterone is added to protect against uterine cancer and bone loss. Okay, so they each have their purpose. All right. Besides hormone replacement therapy, how can you treat hot flashes? That was the next question. Again, while HRT relieves the hot flashes for women, all right, there are other drug treatments that may offer relief, and these include both over-the-counter and prescribed therapies. You may recognize some of these as from their more common medical uses. As for the over-the-counter therapies, it can vary between vitamins, ibuprofen products, and soy proteins found in food. The prescription therapy includes, obviously, HRT, low-dose depression drugs of fluoxetine, or Prozac, for those who know what that is, Prozextine, which is known as Praxel, or Effexor. You can use that. Make sure you ask your doctor before you take any of these. Clonidine, blood pressure medication, anti-seizure drugs, Brisdel. It's a formula of Praxel for hot flashes, and Duavi. It's a congestive estrogen mesodoxifene formula. It's used to treat hot flashes, but again, if you're going to take anything to treat hot flashes, you need to consult your doctor first. All right. Most of the treatments for menopause are natural. Some are identical supplements that can be used in their place, such as soybeans or wild yams. So those can actually help. They may provide some of the benefits of estrogen in releasing some of the symptoms. Because people have asked, are there natural treatments available for menopause? That was the seventh question that was received. They commonly include the soybeans and yams, estriol, a couple other things as well. I'm not going to try to say all these names. The products are not regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So keep that in mind. Question I didn't really want to answer, but I'm going to go ahead and answer it anyway. So, I'm assuming at this point sex has become painful. The question is, what do you do? Okay, the pain you're experiencing during sex is due to the dryness I mentioned before. It's associated with the decline of estrogen levels during menopause, okay? You have to talk to your doctor about possible causes of painful intercourse in the first place. There are a number of lubricants you can try to use that to relieve the symptom, but again, you need to ask your doctor and pharmacist for suggestions on this, okay? There are local estrogen treatments, creams, tablets, and for the love of God, I don't know why, an estrogen ring that treat the dryness. An oral drug taken once a day, Asfina, is also available, but again, check with your doctor. Don't just go and take something just because. The drug makes the tissue thicker and less fragile, resulting in less pain. Okay? In your lady area. Just a heads up. Menopause can change a woman's voice, but it's not as common. Alright? Just thought I'd throw that out there. That was the ninth question. And the last one... what can I do about facial hair I've developed as a result of menopause? There are supplements for that. Soy is a great supplement. It may provide some of the best benefits of estrogen since your body doesn't have it. But research results are, again, contradictory on something like that. So, I mean, I figured I'd at least give you the information on it. You'd still have to talk to your doctor about it. Other botanicals, including black cohosh, have... shown some promise for reducing menopausal sweats and hot flashes. However, again, it's one of those things that they have to research a little bit more. So, there's that. And that pretty much covers everything I have to say on this specific topic. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. This has been a wonderful podcast. I know it was a little bit weird, and for you, if it wasn't great, it was a little bit creepy, a little bit weird for me. But again, this is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You by Neogentrix. If you like my podcast, please feel free to subscribe on the anchor.fm website / Neogentrix. Show your love and support there. Check out # The Guru, Lupus Survivor, and Gloria TP5. Check out their stations. They have wonderful stations. Hit me up on my Facebook or on Anchor anytime if you have any subjects, any things you would like to talk about, or if I missed something. Please feel free to let me know. Have a great rest of your day.